The following podcast contains adult language, explicit content, and original opinions.
All content is the opinion of Comics Brew and no one else.
It is meant for mature audiences only, so be warned.
Guys, there are sad tidings. Rick and Morty has ended for season 3.
Yeah.
And it'll be another 4
moment
years.
Of silence. That was good enough. What did you guys hear about them bringing Szechuan sauce
back for a very limited time, one day only?
What was the closest spot to us?
So the closest spot to us
was
here,
like 20 miles away.
It would have been in Federal Way, south end of Federal Way, right at the end of 18. So yeah, about 20 miles away from here at the studio.
So yes.
So yes, what?
20 miles away is
that? About 20. You know, I'm trying to give the local listeners a little bit of a heads up, but there were only 4. In the state of Washington that actually had the Szechuan sauce.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, you're going to expect big lines, right?
So we all went.
No, we didn't. However,
we all went.
I have been kind of following the happenings because I do have some people on my Facebook feed that did go and did try and snag the sauce. And one of the people there that I've been kind of following his daily update waited in line for 2.5 hours. And then when he finally got to the register, they said, sorry, we're out. We only had 50 packets to start with.
What? And the way you make it sound is it's little, like, ketchup packets that you flick, and then open.
I mean, that might be that. I mean,
is it not the little rectangle cups?
It might have been the little cup, but, I mean, still, even if they get, like, assuming they only gave one to each
person. Every person.
That's still only 50 people.
Yeah.
You think you would make it an... Actually, McDonald's probably didn't make an announcement specifically so people would go, oh, you're out of Szechuan sauce? Well, fuck it. I've been standing in line for 3 hours. I'm goddamn hungry, and your fries smell amazing. So let me get some food.
Oh, yeah. It's exactly what it is.
But what is this manufactured demand?
Like, Rick and
okay,
Morty.
Yeah.
I know that. Like, that's where it comes from and stuff. But you have to be... As McDonald's, you have to know. This is like back in the day when a Happy Meal thing came out. And they made sure, but in those times they made sure, let's make sure we have enough for everybody.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
This is a limited time offer to get people to come into McDonald's without having a big commitment.
It's such bullshit though.
Yeah,
although
they probably ran one vat of Szechuan sauce.
Yeah, right, for the country.
For the country, yeah.
Yeah,
and bitches. Then divided it up in every store that was participating.
It's really what you got to find out and hold on to, Morty, is that even if you get what you want in life, it's not what you want in
probably
life.
Probably still sucked.
It was really shitty and nothing matters.
It's probably literally barbecue sauce and sweet and sour mixed together.
It's a really terrible life and things in all amounts, Morty.
Chicken nuggets. So, you know, I'm going to go and get some food. Welcome back to another episode of Comics Brew, episode 227.
Yep.
As always, I am the best host, the host with the most, Adam.
I don't know if that's true, but I'm Tyler. I am the best host.
And none of that's true, and I'm Josh.
Well, guys, guess what it is, or was, last weekend?
I don't know. What was it, Big Posy?
New York Comic Con.
Oh, I don't care. That's in New York.
It's the second largest con in the country.
Good for them.
Yeah.
The only thing that beats them out is the not-for-profit and super litigious San Diego Comic-Con. Or Comic-Con International. Either way, they're trying to patent Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And for being a not-for-profit organization, you wonder, what the fuck?
Yeah, a little bit. A wee bit.
Well, you got to make those non-profit dollars.
Absolutely. Yeah. Those tax-exempt 501 dollars.
Mm-hmm.
But
before because, we... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say, because it is New York Comic-Con, this week's episode is going to be a little bit different. It's going to have a shitload of news because it's just pouring out of New York right now.
Absolutely. I think I'm looking at 12 or 13 news stories.
Yeah, yet. There's a lot.
No
yeah,
reviews
shit.
This week for us, though.
But before we bounce out of reviews, I think we should mention a couple of things that we have been keeping track of real quick.
Okie doke.
Yeah, that came out this week that are worth mentioning.
But before we get to that even, we should mention the brews that we're drinking.
Oh, yeah.
Montucky.
That's right. Montucky has made its comeback to 2017.
I'm sure it's been... I'm positive
no,
it has.
You've definitely brought them a couple of
in
times.
In the 10th hour, yeah. It returns.
I'm positive it's been here before this year. But anyways, yeah, Montucky. And also, I have from Tusk and Grain, company I've never heard of, out of San Diego. We have a bourbon barrel aged coconut stout. So, of course, I would try that. And it's really good.
I noticed you had no problem getting the wax seal off ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I'm glad you showed up.
This time I cut it.
I'm glad you showed up 2.5 hours early so that we could chill it for you, too.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, it tastes like whiskey, man. I can't get behind the
carbonated booth. Whiskey?
Yeah, like just anything that's... Except for whiskey, that I'm really, yeah, carbonated whiskey. A beer that tastes like whiskey, I'm just like, I would either rather.
When you become
drink
a man
whiskey.
Someday, you'll learn to love it.
I want to roll you back in 9 months to when Lisa and Mark brought those bourbon and other barrel aged beers with them. And we all had rave reviews.
I mean, I'm sure there are good ones out there. But
that
just,
chocolate one, you cannot deny. That chocolate one that they had was like heaven.
Just as a rule of thumb, like, I feel like, just like my problem with like overly hoppy IPAs, some like bourbon barrel aged stuff goes. Over the top with it, and then it just tastes like whiskey.
Well, it tastes like whiskey coconut, and I love it.
That one was actually pretty good. I'll give you that one. That
it's
one was
a
pretty decent.
Nut. Yeah, it's nice.
It's a whiskey nut.
You know, from the whiskey
for the most
nut
part,
tree.
A cocoa whiskey.
I'm not about them.
All right, well, whatever. Josh,
well,
what do you have?
Well, it being October, I can't help but try and drink as many pumpkin beers as I want.
Did you get a pumpkin-chino?
On the shelves.
Pumpkin-chino was a couple of weeks ago. This
oh,
one
is it gone
already? No, it's still out. Oh. But this is the Puyallup River Brewing Company, Jack O'Lahar.
Oh.
It's actually named after the guy that started the brewing for... It's not Puyallup River. It was that place that was before Puyallup River. It was the ale house or whatever that got closed for a little while they were making the brewery. Anyway... It was one of the first pumpkin beers I've ever had, and it was on this show. So this is this 2017's version of the okay. Jack O'Lahar
and?
Pumpkin. It's just as good as always. It's got nutmeg and pumpkin spice
ooh,
in it, and it's just
yeah.
really good.
The best part about this time of year is all the tasty beers come back. Smoke of Death.
Yeah. So I'm not a huge fan of pumpkin, but I do recognize its ability to make a beer that should be less than par better.
But sometimes they're really good.
Punkachino is, I still stand by, one of the best ones. Although, Adam, producer Adam, his Dark of the Moons that he loves from Elysian.
Dark of the Moon is also really good.
Oh my God, that stuff is good. Especially if it's like, it's not chilled, but a little bit below room temperature.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, so it's not cold.
Like you took it out of the fridge half hour ago.
Yeah, exactly. That's when those are the best.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Dark of the Moon is really good.
But I've got a Space Dust playing backup, and then a Tyler was gracious enough to give me one of those sweet, sweet Montucky cold snacks.
You got a Montucky closer.
I do.
Bullpen's nice and full.
It is. It's got a dark beer, or actually, no, it's an ale, and then it's got an IPA, and then it's got a lager. Before we get into the news, Tyler, I think you and I both want to talk about Batman White Knight, and
yeah.
I want to talk about the Dawnbreaker real quick.
Yeah.
Before
I read
you guys
that too.
Get into that,
oh, wait. Venomverse ended.
It did. That was going to be my review this week.
Yeah,
but
I was
that
gonna,
is
I was
over.
Gonna, well, how did it end? Because it was all Doom and Doctor Strange at the end of the last one.
So, come to find out, the poisons weren't actually...
aliens?
No, they weren't trying to eliminate Doctor Strange. They were, because Doctor Strange was basically kept bringing them food.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like, they were actually playing all of the Venoms, but Carnage was the MacGuffin, and...
He's the stopper.
Yeah, to an extent, but the world is still fucked Rick and Morty style for that particular
like
dimension.
Yeah.
And just everybody gets zapped back to their world where they came from, but that world is absolutely
what about the poisons fucked. That were already, like, poisoned? Do they get their symbiotes back?
A lot of them
back?
Die. Carnage just tears through them.
Oh, okay.
Cause
so,
they
like Hulk, so, like, Hulk's gone, Cap's gone, Deadpool's
Hulk,
gone.
Hulk, actually, the last time you... Hulk only has the one real appearance. And,
oh, okay. Just that
very,
first fucking issue?
Yeah, and the very last one, you see him walking across the monitor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's on the way, you better hurry. And then they hurry and save the day.
Okay.
So, not deep storytelling, but if you want to see a bunch of popular characters redrawn with symbiotes, check it out.
So, the Dawnbreaker is actually pretty fucking dope.
Yeah.
I'm thoroughly impressed by it. It's written by Sam Humphries and drawn by Ethan Van Shiver. I just have to say it's just a great take on Batman as Green Lantern.
Yeah,
so
it's a
Batman,
lot different from the other ones too.
Yeah, Batman uses his willpower essentially to push the Green Lantern ring beyond its limits. Like, he's elected as a Green Lantern and starts being Green Lantern as Bruce Wayne, but as he's Green Lantern in Gotham. And he starts just taking care of things like Lantern really should, you know what I mean?
The other interesting thing about it is the other two Batman we've seen were like, Batman was Batman and then decided to utilize other heroes' abilities or powers,
yeah,
like because
he
could became
the
better.
Flash, became Cyborg.
He didn't
yeah.
become Batman in this
no,
universe.
He starts
he just,
as Green Lantern.
Yeah, as
yeah.
a young kid.
Absolutely. But he's able to push, like, literally use his Batman-like willpower to push the Green Lantern ring against the programming that the Guardians instill in
him. Break its limits, push past, like, its charge level, and unleash, like, darkness.
Yeah, and he literally invites the Void in. And there's a lot of theories online that he invites Barbados in, is what he does there. But the end of it is that Batman Green Lantern Dawnbreaker is able to channel the darkness within his own soul through the ring and override the no lethal action code of the Guardians. And then, so that's his origin. Then he comes to our world, Earth Zero, the pinnacle of the multiverse. And in doing so, he meets up with Hal. And he does what Dawnbreaker does what he does in every other instance. He makes the Void happen. And Hal is the only, like, point of mote of light in this whole thing. And right as his light's about to be extinguished, Dr. Fate's like, no, we need you for the Lords of Order.
Just like with the Flash.
Yeah, and just pulls him out of it. And that's where the end of Dawnbreaker happens. But there's still some great moments with the Batman Who Laughs in there. You get some great, like, big full-page stuff from Ethan Van Shiver as far as the Dawnbreaker's use of the Void. It was just really good. I really appreciated it. I think Metal's tie-ins as far as the Batman go are pretty damn good.
They're interesting. So I also this week read Batman White Knight.
Oh my goodness!
So this is Sean Murphy and Matt Hollingsworth's story.
So it's Sean Murphy doing most of it, and then it's colored by Matt Hollingsworth.
Drawn, inked, and just Hollingsworth is doing the colors.
But let's not downplay Hollingsworth's work. It's fucking amazing. Yeah.
It was sort of pitched as, you know, what if the Joker was the White Knight, the savior of Gotham, and Batman was sort of the villain? And the way I read that was.
It's switched role reversal.
Yeah, but it was going to be like that's how it has always been.
Yeah,
but I think the way they did it was even better.
Right. So it starts off with the traditional Joker story, right?
Yeah, like Joker's leading Batman on a chase through the city, and he's basically leading Batman to cause a bunch of damage, and he leads him to this pharmaceutical warehouse where he goes on his classic kind of Joker rants, like he's just trying to. You know, make Batman see the point.
Yeah, like, you don't get it, do you? Here, let me illustrate it another way. Yeah,
and he finally, his last thing is he's saying, you need me. I made you what, like, you are
today, yeah.
And let me prove it. Take these pills. Let me take these pills. I'll get better, and I will prove that you need me. And Batman shoves them in his throat, and...
He's like, you want some? You want some? And then, like, what's great is, like, after that happens, they're diagnosing Joker, and they're like... No one knows what was in the drugs. No one knows what the dosage was. No one knows what Batman did to him.
And
Batman probably doesn't know what he did to him.
Well, yeah, nobody knows what it is except maybe Joker, but it cured him.
Yep.
He's no longer the Joker, but he's still a genius. Absolutely. And in prison, he basically comes up with a plan to, well, sue everybody to prove that Gotham doesn't need Batman around, essentially.
Pretty much, yeah. He reverses this. I hate to use it, but he flips the script. He does. Yeah. He really
and
it, does.
So far, looks really interesting. It doesn't go much further than that in the actual comic. I don't really want to spoil too much, but there's a lot of. This is one of the few times where you get some politics into a book, and it actually is like, oh, okay,
that's not bad. That's not a bad use of.
Yeah, it's really well done. I'm excited for the rest of this miniseries. I'm sure we'll talk about it.
Can we talk real quick about the one page splash of the Joker's room, where he's got all that memorabilia?
Yeah.
So there's an old Adam. Do you remember the old poster for the Batman the Animated Series where it's like a red background and then just Batman doing.
And it's a side profile?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. I don't think it's a side profile. I think it's more like he's holding the cape up over him, and it's just black with two white slits. I'd have to show you Tyler can probably show
exactly
you the image.
I know exactly what you're talking about, though.
It's fucking amazing. Sean Murphy included so much little Easter eggs in there. Like the Batman 66 water pistol is in there.
Oh, yep.
It's like there's some old school stuff in there, and it's just really cool. Batman White Knight is definitely worth picking up, even as just an Elseworlds comic. It's totally Adam, you'd love it.
Yeah, you would.
Especially because the Joker is so close to you.
It's fucking great.
Okay, yeah, I'll have to check this out.
Absolutely.
So, New York City Comic Con.
Damn, guys. This is a big year. This is like, I feel like this year kind of trumps last year. Last year was like Luke Cage. Luke Cage was coming out last year during New York City Comic Con. Oh, shit. I didn't even get her comment. Sorry. A little outside of this. We're definitely going to look at what G. Willow Wilson had to say about a particular news story.
Ooh.
But let's start where some of the getting is good. This is one of the ones that I think Tyler and I have both read, the comic series Happy.
Yes, by Grant Morrison and Derek Robertson.
Yes, the Derek Robertson drew The Boys.
Mm-hmm.
And he drew a good bit of, I'm pretty sure, the Garth Ennis's Punisher. I think he did a lot of that, too.
I think he does have a decent amount of
Punisher,
that.
What is it, Max, I think, is what he did. Anyway, so Happy is a story about this really disgruntled, pretty crappy person of a cop. He used to be the best of the best, and then he became, like, he hated the world and decided to become the best hitman ever. And he is. He's a really good fucking hitman. In the middle of the story, he gets shot, and we assume he dies. At least that's the story they're giving us in the trailer. And then when he's being resuscitated, he's fine. He wakes up. He's still alive. And then a blue horse shows up to him.
I thought he was a cop.
That's what I said. He was a cop.
Well, I thought you said...
Oh, in the comic, he's a cop. Yeah. In this, he's not.
Okay, yeah.
And the trailer just opens with him thinking he was a cop, and then he became a hitman.
Yeah. I think, actually, that's the story in the comic, too, Tyler.
I thought he was just...
Because he does a hit. He does a hit later on in the comic, and it's a flashback.
Huh, I don't remember that bit. But either way. So somebody has his daughter is the story of the comic.
Yeah, someone's got his daughter, and he's this, like, scumbag piece of shit, but is still a good killer. And that's, that's very much the thing that they hammer home, is, like, this guy is a piece of crap.
Yeah, and he starts seeing this imaginary blue horse, and it is his daughter's imaginary friend.
And his name is Happy.
He's the only one that can see it. Yep.
So the trailer for the show came out, and it's going to be on Sci-Fi. It's going to be... So they call it Season 1. I don't see this going much past Season 1.
Maybe two seasons just to get to draw it out.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that's going to work, but...
So the... It could work. I can't remember the guy's, the main actor. We talked about him when he was cast, but the horse is Patton Oswalt.
Fuck, I know his name. He's one of those people that's in, like, everything.
He's in Law and Order.
Yeah.
SVU. Bryce Lorenzo?
No, Christopher Maloney.
Yeah, Christopher Maloney. Yeah, that's his name. So, yeah, he's the scumbag detective guy, and then Patton Oswalt plays the little horse Happy. Yeah. So it looks great.
Yeah, the little teaser, there's not much there, but it's pretty good.
And
it
doesn't
gives me some hope.
Does it, the tone of it, do you think it matches the comic? Because
yeah,
I think it does.
I think it 100%
does. I think it
does.
Really hits that home. So next off, we got Marvel's first attempt at a Hulu series.
Runaways.
Tyler, you're pretty much the only one here that's read Runaways.
Runaways is the story of six teenagers. Well, it's six kids. They range in age. And this looks like they aged up Molly, so they're all kind of the same age. Basically, they come together over the fact that their parents are these crime bosses who run L.A., but they're each they're not just like mob crime bosses. Like, Carolina Dean is an alien. Her parents are aliens. Nico Minoru, she eventually gets the staff of one. It's like a magic staff. Her parents are magicians. This guy, Chase, his parents are scientists. I think her name's Gertrude Stein? No, that's maybe not. Gertrude, I think, is her name. Her parents, I don't remember what they are, but she gets this crazy velociraptor from them. Like, each of the six kids' parents are...
Some kind of
super evil person in the comics. But together, they're this, like, cult organization that runs L.A., and the kids come together over that. And go on the run, become the Runaways. And so this first trailer came out, and I gotta say, it looks pretty fucking rad.
So just like I asked you questions about, like, the tone of Happy, what do you think about the tone of the Runaways? Is it hitting that, like, I don't know, angsty look?
I think it's kind of got the right look. They're definitely going a little bit more, like, teen drama than the comic did. Because in the comic, they're mostly, like, on the run, and this looks like they're going to parties and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But
they all, like for some reason, it seems like they don't necessarily know each other too well until you get to this house.
Yeah, and that's kind of how the book was. There's two things that I really love, though. So we see Gertrude, besides the look of everybody, it's, like, perfect, but you see a small shadow of Gertrude knocked down and something, like, on top of her about to attack her, it looks like, and it's her raptor, Old Lace.
Oh, okay.
And you get to see just the snout of it, so I'm glad that, like, that's in there. But also, Carolina Dean, she's kind of like, she's an alien, but her powers are sort of Starfire-esque.
Okay, I could see that. Yeah, like so she has like little bolts, maybe a little flight.
Yeah, she's got flight. She's really strong. Could shoot like energy. But the look of her is great.
Cause which one's she?
She's the one on the far left, the blonde.
Ah, okay, gotcha.
She,
I had a feeling.
She looks normal and human until, but her real form is like, it looks like she's made of like rainbow shifting lights.
Okay.
And it like trails off of her every time she moves. And there's one shot in the trailer where they're kind of like,
you kind of try to do that.
You see it's the transformation.
Her arm glows, right? Yeah.
I think, and then the way they did that, they really nailed the effect on that. So I am down with this.
So do you remember in A-Force that person that was like a nebula, or she was like outer space?
Yeah, it was made
for A-Force. Is that kind of like what you're talking about with her?
No.
Okay.
No, she's it's not like a dark void in stars. It is like a bright, like brilliant, shining light. Like her whole body, hair, everything is just bright. It's none of like the dark kind of space look of the A-Force character.
So there's a something that I want to talk about, and maybe Tyler, you might be able to actually splice this audio into the show, because
I don't know if we can use it.
We can. It's just a personal comment, but
all right. How about this? We'll play it. We'll be silent, and if it works, I'll do it.
Okay. Here, I'm gonna try because I think it'll show up over here.
Hi, heroes. This is Stan Lee coming at you. Want you to know, Marvel has always been and always will be a reflection of the world right outside our window. That world may change and evolve, but the one thing that will never change is the way we tell our stories of heroism. Those stories have room for everyone, regardless of their race, gender, religion, or color of their skin. The only things we don't have room for are hatred, intolerance, and bigotry. That man next to you, he's your brother. That woman over there, she's your sister. And that kid walking by, hey, who knows? He may have the proportionate strength of a spider. We're all part of one big family, the human family, and we all come together in the body of Marvel. And you, you're part of that family. You're part of the Marvel universe that moves ever upward and onward to greater glory. In other words, Excelsior!
So there's a reason he's known as the man.
Yeah.
And Tyler, I'm giving you full permission to use all of that audio.
Well, I'll see if I can make that work.
You should. So there's a couple things I want to highlight. Stan Lee openly says that Marvel Comics are a reflection of what's going on at the time. That means for all of you people...
It always has been.
Yeah. That means for all of you people out there that are worried about politics in your comics, you need to stop and take a look at what your comics used to be and where they are now. Mm-hmm. They haven't changed in that regard, and you should stop rallying with... Like, I'm speaking to those people that are just that way. Like, stop rallying. Like, these aren't my comics. Your comics have been this way forever. As far back as the 1960s when Stan Lee took over Marvel, he's been handling these kind of ideas forever. So there's no reason not to expect that to come out of not just Marvel Comics, but out of all comics.
Yeah.
All art is a comment on society. There's no way not to view that.
And, I mean, he's always been their spokes dude, and he's always been outspoken. He's always, you know, you can argue back and forth as to whether or not Marvel is successful with representation, like good representation, but he's always done it.
I agree. But there also is that other part that I think everybody can agree on, and Marvel is maybe for some things, but it's definitely not for bigotry or hatred or putting your neighbor down. He in there, he goes, that person next to you, that's your sister. That other person next to you, that's your brother.
Yeah, that person next to me is my sister because he's a little girl.
Yeah.
But I think that's important, and only someone like Stan Lee can get you like, man, you're right, Stan.
Yeah, well, and I mean, especially with, you know, this video was released in the wake of the
Las Vegas
tragedy. He's just like, hey, like, we're all part of the human race, you know? Like, don't be a dick.
Pretty much. There's a Nick Offerman song I saw. It's called Don't Be an Asshole.
Yeah, that
it's
too.
It's so good. I went and saw him last week. It was really good. Moving on from Runaways and Stan Lee, I think actually DC kind of, as far as we could tell, there might be something later on, like next week that we mentioned in wrap-up of NYCC. But as far as I can tell, the biggest announcements for comics-wise came out of DC.
All of them. Like a vast majority of them, so, at least.
Well, part of it is, I mean, Marvel would have had a Punisher trailer, but that was canceled in the wake of Vegas.
I actually
replaced
with
the Stan Lee documentary.
That's right, it was.
Yeah,
that's right.
That panel was canceled and replaced with the Stan Lee documentary.
So I think, let's talk about that real quick. So Punisher was supposed, actually, I think the first episode was supposed to debut at New York City Comic Con.
Check out the first episode.
Yeah. Kind of like they've done with other series in the past. And I think in the wake of the Las Vegas tragedy, what do you guys think about Marvel taking that stance? And it's not the first time they've done that.
Well, I mean, it's not surprising.
Not only is it not surprising, but the Punisher kind of makes sense because it's a really easy argument to say that he is.
Well, he's probably going to open the series
a homespun
terrorist.
He is. He actually domestic terrorism is one of Frank's things.
Well, he's probably going to start the first episode with just like we first saw him in Daredevil,
just slaughtering
a room full of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Probably going to pop out a window and shoot some people, and that is not in good taste right now.
He doesn't. So I applaud them for this. Have you guys ever seen the original Spider-Man trailer?
I mean, probably.
Yeah, with the Twin Towers?
With the Twin Towers.
Oh, yeah.
He spins a web and catches a helicopter.
He catches the helicopter between them.
Yeah.
So between then and 9/11, between them and the release, 9/11 happened. So they had to change an entire set piece of Spider-Man.
Speaking of Spider-Man and 9/11... Right about then, Spider-Man the game was coming out for PlayStation, I believe.
For the movie?
I don't know if it was for the movie or not, but it was Spider-Man game was also being released about that time, and the final boss was supposed to be Carnage on top of the Twin Towers, and you were going to bounce back and forth between them mid-fight. And they had to completely redevelop the end of the game because they didn't want to put the Twin Towers in the game.
So I think we can all be in agreement that, like, or in agreement that... That was a good move.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's a tactful move. Yeah. Whether you agree with it or not, it's a tactful move.
Well, they made some other not tactful moves.
We'll get into that later.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Okay, so let's talk about some DC announcements. So 2018 is going to be the year of Milestone Media. Mm-hmm. DC is going to bring back the Milestone imprint, which is going to be bringing with it Icon, Static Shock, Black Lightning's going to get his own comic.
Tom Strong.
There's going to be a ton coming through. And I like how you pushed it away and then leaned into the mic.
If you lean forward and you're gassy, it lines everything
up
and it helps come out.
Yeah,
so it was more not to get the mic away from the burp, but to get the mic away from my lean.
I gotcha. You just leaned into it.
It was the most satisfying burp.
I bet, though. It sounded great.
One of them space-opening burps.
Yeah, sure.
Time for more beer. Fill it with beer.
I am thoroughly I'm enthused about this. There's been a lot of like will they, won't they, for Milestone in the past year. Mm-hmm. I mean, we even had what is his name? Dwayne McDuffie's widow. She sued Milestone or whatever the current incarnation for it, and we were like, oh no. No, because, like, there's some quality characters coming out of Milestone.
Yeah, well, and DC's tried to bring in Milestone characters before. They actually brought Static Shock into the DC universe for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is he not anymore?
No. Not right now, no. Okay. Not in the Rebirth story.
I think what they've done here is actually a really good idea, because it's on Earth-M. It's its own thing. Milestone is back, but it's not DC-related. It's probably the best way.
It's all going to take place on Earth-M.
Yeah, I think that's the right move for them to make, because they're not over-cramming the current DC lineup, which is DC's lineup, will always be full,
a little big.
But they're gonna let it run and play in its own playground, and I think that's the smart move for doing something like this with Milestone.
Yeah, I agree.
Good group of characters.
Yeah.
So if you're excited about Milestone, if you like Static Shock, all them, they're coming back.
I would. So
speaking of relaunches,
to be honest, I really would only be interested in Static Shock just because I have no idea who the other characters are.
Yeah.
To be honest, like. And I think that's a problem, I think. Maybe we should actually, I'm not saying this is like a social movement or anything, but maybe we should take a look at Milestone when it launches and see there's something that
we
missed.
You remember when Wildstorm characters were introduced in
the
New
DC?
52?
Yeah, Apollo
and
Midnighter.
Most of them failed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I would think partially because they don't have quite the audience, partially because they don't really fit in that world.
Yeah, like they tried to put Martian Manhunter with the guys from Wildstorm. I don't remember what that was.
Oh, fuck.
It's a New 52 title though, and it was eventually canceled.
Shit.
But I
was
agree
it called
with you
Maneaters?
No.
Man.
Fuck, this is going to bug me because I can't remember what it is. But yeah, no, that same team had Jenny Spark?
And Apollo and...
No, it didn't. It was the, like, had some authority characters. Maybe it was just the authority.
Yeah, I think so.
Either way, so that was New 52 stuff, and it kind of worked, kind of didn't, but this is a much better way to bring back Milestone.
I agree, and I'm looking forward to maybe delving into them in 2018. Speaking of relaunches in 2018, sorry, Adam, I smushed your
beautiful,
awesome segue there.
Gloriously, yeah. Silky smooth segue.
So Vertigo still is an imprint at DC, but they're going to be making an emphasis and relaunching it in 2018 for the 25th anniversary of Vertigo Comics. I also think this is a good move.
Yeah, I do as well. I mean, DC's really... They're making some moves for 2018. Like, they're definitely going to be making some big moves as far as other imprints go. And, yeah, I agree with you. I think this is a fantastic move. I mean, there's been some amazing stuff that's come out of Vertigo. Why the fuck not try and bring it back?
Yeah.
I think Vertigo's probably got a more famous list of characters as well.
Well, okay, so Vertigo's weird, right? Like, it's not a cohesive universe.
That's
true. There are things in Vertigo that have coincided with the DC universe.
That's true. You're right, because it technically is still the same world, isn't it?
Well, no.
No, Vertigo is just a publishing an imprint. Line.
It's just a line. The only things that directly involve the DC universe have mentioned the DC universe.
It's basically just been
Swamp
Sandman.
Swamp Thing and Sandman.
Yeah.
So those are the two things I know from Vertigo.
Well, Why the Last Man is Vertigo.
Oh, shit, that's right, it is.
So is Preacher. Preacher is Vertigo.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it is? Oh, yeah. That I did not know, but okay.
What the fuck? American Vampire is Vertigo. They have quite a catalog.
They do.
But in recent years, and this is a critique that we've brought up in the past, in recent years they've only been pushing out limited series. Now the limited series have been quality.
Yeah.
But remember one of the ones was it was a post-apocalyptic world where it just ended. Like Tyler and I were reading it vigorously and it just ended.
Fuck, it was the fantasy one.
Yeah, yeah. God, they had like mixed like the fantasy characters.
A big
old
plague came through and killed most of humanity and the creatures took over. Yeah.
God, that's going to bother me. I'll figure it out. But anyway, they're relaunching Vertigo.
Which is, I mean, it's good. Get people coming back to the Vertigo section every month as opposed to just when those particular limited series come out.
There were some that were great, like The Wake. The Wake was a 10-part... Scott Snyder, Sean Murphy series that was just fucking fantastic.
Never read it.
But it was a limited series. It ended. They didn't have the scope of a series like Preacher.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or the depth of a series like Sandman, which is, I think, something that Vertigo was once known for.
Yeah.
And then not really now, which is a bummer.
Well, hopefully that changes because, I mean, yeah, like you said, when you bring up... Sandman, you bring up Swamp Thing, you bring up Why. I mean, those were
Hinterkind. That was
Hinterkind.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tyler. God damn it.
Yeah, that's what it was.
That was a great. That made it to like 17 issues.
It made it to exactly 17 issues.
And then just they were like, and then we speed up the ending, and it's over.
Yeah.
It was so disappointing because it had legs, dude.
Had a lot of promise.
Yeah. Like vampires were Nazis and they were in dirigibles and shit.
Yeah. Oh man,
so
it was
great.
Good.
Like
it mixed
the rustic with the changing of the world as far as history goes.
Yeah.
It was great. Huh. So from DC relaunching Vertigo, let's talk a little bit about Grant Morrison working with his best friend ever.
Yeah.
Dan Didio.
Didio?
Yeah.
Didio.
So Dan Didio is the co-publisher of DC Comics. He does it with Jim Lee. And then, obviously, we have the great and powerful Grant Morrison working with Justin Jordan and Kenneth Rocafort on art to create a comic called Sideways.
We have no other information about it. But I will tell you one more Grant Morrison-related thing.
Let's hear it.
He's going to be involved in Metal. Somehow.
No shit. Well, his stories already are.
Yeah, well, but at sometime Saturday, Scott Snyder mentioned that he's working on something Metal-related with Grant Morrison.
Well, duh.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good, that's great. It's a good development. Wait, someone is returning to Detective Comics. Listen. Late breaking.
Tim Drake.
Tim Drake.
And Connor Kent.
Wait, yeah. Oh, Connor Kent is coming back. Mm-hmm. No shit. So
there's,
I mean,
a lot of shit going on this weekend.
Sideways. Yeah. We don't know anything about Sideways, but we
hope the first issue is printed entirely sideways. So instead of reading it like this, you actually have to turn the book and
flip it vertically.
Flip like a calendar.
It's not the last. It's not the first time you've done that. Remember Pax Americana? You had to flip the book to read it.
Yeah. Yeah. You
really?
Did. Wait.
Yeah. The Multiversity Pax Americana. Yeah. You had to flip the book to read it.
Yeah.
That's fucking sweet.
But then when you turn the page, you had to flip it back.
Huh.
Because they went over a quantum bridge that was a circle. And, like, they were telling stories this way.
Yeah, it was down. Real fucking good.
It was really good. It felt like Pax Americana was, like, his Watchmen.
It was based on the Charleston Comics characters that inspired Watchmen.
Yeah.
That issue was so fucking good.
We gave it best single issue for the Brucies.
It was fucking really good.
I think it was the year before you started.
Okay.
Yeah.
So moving on, we can only expect more greatness. Oh, and we also get fucking a single issue of Klaus this year too from Grant Morrison.
I don't remember.
We talked about it.
We did. Yeah.
Yeah. The zombie clauses.
Zombie clause. Yeah.
Absolutely. But Scott Snyder and Sean Murphy, the creative team behind American Vampire, are reuniting for one last go around. And creating a comic called Batman Last Night.
And this is going to be his final Batman story coming out in April.
Yeah.
I will be checking this out.
Yeah.
And it's it's a future story.
Yeah. Batman suddenly wakes up and he's young. But he wakes up in this post-apocalyptic wasteland, crawling out of the sand in this Gotham City that's been ruined. He's got the Joker's head chained to his belt, but it's alive and like, you gotta move, kid. It's got Wonder Woman, baby Superman. It's like my lone wolf and cub Batman story.
Sounds interesting.
So, I'm down.
So yeah, on here's board. The thing. Sean Murphy is doing Batman White Knight right now, and it's fucking amazing. I gotta show Adam some of these fucking pictures, man.
Yeah, we'll show him later.
Yeah.
We'll show him later.
But he's very iconic. He does like hard, rigid lines, but he still is like, He harkens back to some of his older stuff, right?
I have the comic.
Yeah, you should probably just do that. I can't wait to see what he does with Last Night. Also, Sean Murphy announced after the announcement of Last Night, he said, Last Night will be my last collaboration with a writer ever. And that's kind of interesting because that means that
he's going to go full
creator, right?
Hey, were you talking about this?
He was talking about that page.
It's on the screen.
Yeah, so that picture with him holding the cape up?
Yeah.
The moon is supposed to be red in the original art.
Okay. Well, it's uncolored in the image that I have.
Yeah. I just, like, that's why I brought up the whole red circle, but it's the same piece of art.
Gotcha. I could really stand to see Scott Snyder and Sean Murphy reunite. They are a great team, man.
Okay, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt.
No, White Knight is great.
There are all kinds of awesome fucking little Easter eggs in this scene with this room or in the cell.
Like, I feel like I said this. I feel like I said, you know that one page where there's all those Easter eggs?
But there's Batman riding the biplane from Long Halloween. There's Jack Nicholson's Joker firing at the Batplane with the insanely long pistol.
You're right, there is.
Carry on. I'm going to keep looking.
So aside from this awesome news story that last night is going to be a thing, DC is going to commemorate the 1,000th issue of Action Comics.
Of course.
And this, right? But this is something that we've never come across before in the history of comics. There's never been a 1,000th issue of something.
I'm sure there has been really? Of something.
Okay. How about this? There's never been a 1,000th issue of a big two.
This is true. Yes. Because, I mean, it's a 1,000th issue of the one that started it all, of Action Comics.
Action Comics is in the 980s or something like that right now.
Well, I believe we talked about this. Were we doing Comics when the New 52 happened?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that they were probably going to go back to the original numbering at some point, especially because in the next couple of years...
They said they were going back to the original numbering.
Yeah, but I mean...
I need to read this.
I believe I specifically mentioned... I thought they were going to go back because in the next couple of years, they were going to hit Action Comics 1000. There's no way they'd miss that.
You should, dear listener, if you want to figure out if Tyler said that, you should listen to Comics Brew episodes 10 through 52 and see if that's correct.
Why 10 through 52?
Because that's our first year, and the new 52 started in 2012.
Oh, okay,
perfect. And we started in 2013, so it's possible.
Yeah.
I'm sure I did. But anywho, yeah.
Aren't
so,
you big, proud britches?
Action Comics 1000. Damn.
It will be a star-spangled issue is what they call it.
And I guarantee you they'll do the same thing with Detective when it reaches it.
There's also something really special that they got. As a bonus, an unpublished 1940s Superman tale believed to be by Jerry Siegel in the Joe Shuster Studio, salvaged from the DC files 50 years ago and hidden away until now. So, like, not only is this a gigantic issue, but you might get some shit from way
some
back.
Classic
here's
shit.
What I want to know. Plus a historical essay by guest editor Paul Levitz, who was DC Comics CEO from 1970s to the 1980s. He saw he ushered in the Silver Age and saw the New Age happen as the head of DC Comics. So that means that he okayed things like the Green Lantern Road to Across America. He got to see the dark.
He's got that influence. So we're gonna get his take on Superman. Which is just like what he thinks about it, not his story, but like what he thinks.
Absolutely. And this guy was okay with the Silver Age. Like that's great. So be sure to be on the. I think if we're still doing stuff, we'll take a look at the 1000.
Mm-hmm.
I don't say that like we're going anywhere or anything. I'm just saying it's in
the future. We're gonna do that. Yeah. We're gonna take a look at 1000 of Action Comics.
Absolutely. So on the other spectrum, the Image Comics side of things, there's that their character named Spawn. Everybody knows Spawn?
Yeah, edgiest character ever made.
Pretty much one of the most famous things Todd McFarlane's known for, except for his drawings of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like, I would argue that maybe he's actually more famous
for Spawn.
I would think so because...
I don't know. Torment is such a big Spider-Man comic.
Yeah.
True, but his... I don't know.
And
his credit
Venom,
on Spawn is a lot bigger, I think, than his credit on Spider-Man.
I would say his tenure on Spawn is a lot bigger than his credit on Spider-Man.
Fair enough. There you go. Just because Spawn is almost always referred to as Todd McFarlane's Spawn.
It is.
You know?
Well, that's the thing about Image Comics, right? That's where that comes from. Well, he has reassured the public at NYCC that the production of the R-rated Spawn movie is starting in February.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Is it weird, or is it just an anomaly thing that the only person we've heard about the Spawn project from, we haven't heard about it from a studio, we haven't heard about it from a publicist, we've
just
only
McFarlane.
Heard it from McFarlane. Does that make you guys feel good about it, bad about it? Like,
I'm
like, okay, Todd, do your thing.
I'm a fan of Spawn in the way that, like, it's all right. It's not the worst thing ever. It has its niche.
It's got a good idea. It's a good premise.
Yeah,
it's got a great premise.
It's kind of like a weird Ghost Rider-ish premise,
mm-hmm.
where like empowered by hell
turns his back on it though to see vengeance for the righteous.
I would go a little bit grosser, maybe.
Much grosser.
Yeah. Demented is another way, but maybe.
Yeah, real fucking.
Twisted.
And you got some crazy villains.
You look at some of Jason Aaron's stuff on Ghost Rider, and you're like, it's not that different. You know.
Yeah, and so as for your question, what do you think? Because he's the only one announcing it, I'm like, okay, I'm cautiously optimistic, because we've hit a point I think where you can do pretty much any comic book property
as a
TV
movie.
Or movie or whatever, and do it well.
You'll make your.
I mean, the original Spawn movie wasn't even that bad.
It was actually Martin Sheen's in it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not
John
really,
Leguizamo's
it's not horrible.
No, in fact, the only thing I remember that I didn't like about the original Spawn movie is when he goes to hell, there's so
hell
much...
Hell is really fake.
Yeah,
it's really
there's
fake.
So much CGI going on that it's just overly
and
fake.
And it's just him and his burnt makeup against like an old-school 1990s green screen.
Which does not work well for a scene like
so
that.
It's
but
a
like,
movie
all the
that's
chain
like,
work is really good, all of the cape work is phenomenal.
You think it is.
Okay, you're right. When I remember back...
Yeah. You think it is, because now it stands out pretty bad. It's like how Daredevil looks shitty. You know what I mean? The movie Daredevil looks shitty.
Yeah.
But it's 10 years before that, so, you know, it's bad. I would say if you want to look at an R-rated Spawn thing, go back and watch the HBO Spawn series. That would give you – I have both of them if you guys ever want to watch them. They're
I would
actually
be interested
good.
In the Spawn series.
They're, you know who gave them to me?
Who?
Chad.
Really?
Yeah, he was just like, here, brother, you can have these. I was like, cool. I never watched them. I only saw them digitally on my computer. You know, I never watched his copies.
That's how I watch things digitally.
Yeah, yeah.
I watch things with my eyes.
I'm gonna slap the shit out of you.
And hopefully your eye gets fixed.
Yeah. Or pops out. I'm gonna slap you hard enough that one of the two things. Perfect,
guys.
So we have to get into the last part of tonight's news, and I think it's most.
This is so funny.
The website tomorrow is gonna be such a giant pain in the ass.
Nah, it's gonna be fine. So our last news story tonight, I want to talk about the partnership and an announcement that Marvel made, and then we can talk about the snowball that happened afterwards.
Yeah,
let's talk about all that.
That snowball of shit for sure hit the fan.
Yeah, so on Thursday, October 5th, Marvel announced that there would be a new special panel at New York City Comic Con that would involve them and a partnership with the arms manufacturer Northrop Grumman. It would be a special announcement panel, and, well, there was an excellent little play-by-play that happened afterwards, and I think it's probably worth mentioning.
We should probably tell the people who Northrop Grumman are, right?
Yeah, Northrop Grumman is the fifth largest defense contractor out of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
That is someone who classifies themselves internally as an aerospace company. That's what
aerospace and defense.
But really what these guys do is, Tyler specifically mentioned earlier that they have the up-and-coming replacement for the B-2 bomber.
Right.
Which is cool.
Yeah, so that is aerospace. Yeah, but it's military aerospace.
But it's also very much like killing things aerospace. They're
warmongers.
Yeah. So the play-by-play that happened afterwards is fairly interesting. So Marvel announced that they were doing a new come check out the booth tomorrow at 3 p.m. And we got
we should mention that this kind of began, they put out a small comic.
Yeah.
And the comic was sort of to encourage kids to get into STEM majors, STEM education, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics.
Something we talk about heavily over at Science Nights.
Yeah, and it was to encourage, the idea was to encourage that.
So the intention was that. They were like, if the panel came to, spoilers, the panel never happened, but if the panel came to fruition, that would be the message of the panel.
The focus would have been on the aerospace, not the defense.
So, unfortunately, the backlash is, one tweet that happened, I would say a minute or two after the original Marvel Entertainment tweet, from Jeffrey Marshall, hey y'all, you remember how Tony Stark stopped selling weapons because he realized he was contributing to global human misery?
Question mark.
What about the next one? Cool, teaming up with a company that profits from murder is a good thing. Another one, war profiteering is bad, just... my hot take on it as a longtime fan. Thanks. This sucks and is a super disturbing partnership. You're partnering with a warmongering weapons merchant that are villains in your movies.
Which is a very valid point.
Did you jump the Stark? That's a good one.
Oh, no. Go back up. There's a tweet leads up to that. It's there. It says, is jumping the shark still a thing? And then jump the Stark?
That's great. Keep arms dealers out of NYCC. And then I love this one. Someone just like, give me an Infinity War trailer. So you look into Northrop Grumman, and they are actually the fifth largest weapons dealer in the United States. And they are actually a war profiteering self-contracting company. And they are actually a terrible thing to happen.
I mean, play slight devil's advocate,
somebody's got to build that shit.
They do, and you know, the military contracts do fund a lot of later civilian things, and like you wouldn't have rockets that go into space without rockets that shoot across the country first. But that being said, you know, this company may not have been the best to do such a partnership with.
So before we get out of this initial partnership story, we need to point out a couple things. Marvel's owned by Disney. Disney's CEO is Ike Perlmutter, who has a lot of different stocks invested in a lot of different pies. One of those pies actually happens to be an arms procuring and profiteering companies. He's got a diversified portfolio of weapons manufacturing. He's also a big we talked about it during the campaign. Ike Perlmutter as a citizen came out involved with Trump, and we were like, that's fine, that's your right as a private citizen, but At the same time, like, is this surprising?
The backlash, not at all.
Backlash and that Marvel partner with this is surprising. But here's the thing that I like the best, and I imagine we're going to get into some of creators' reactions.
Yeah.
So this came out.
Joe Quesada's. I think that's.
Get to that.
Okay.
So there were creators involved. I believe it's Fabian Nachiva was doing the writing for the small little comic, or did the writing. It actually, if I remember right, came out online.
And oh yeah.
It got scrubbed from Marvel's website. All mentions gone. Now, as soon as this broke, and this was the beginning of NYCC.
This was like right before Friday. This is like Thursday, about 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock.
Yeah, and you can go back and look at a lot of creators who basically explained, you know, Saturday morning, afternoon time, like, hey, I've been busy with NYCC, so I'm just now getting a chance to respond to this. I had no idea that this was happening until you did.
Yeah, and this is like creators like, okay, so Joe Quesada, the guy who is...
This is the guy who should know.
Yeah, this guy is one of the creative directors of Marvel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He goes, I found out when the story leaked on Bleeding Cool.
No, it didn't leak. It was a press release.
Yeah, okay, so he found out then. G. Willow Wilson, who is not even at New York City Comic Con. She says, so I was getting ready to go on stage at the University of Illinois yesterday when I started getting a stream of tweets, DMs, and press requests for comment about a Marvel announcement. Having been on the road and out of the loop, it took me a minute to figure out what I was being asked. Needless to say, I've never heard of this project and was as baffled as the rest of the internet. I would have left. I'm not naive. I know all collaborations involve compromise, ideological or otherwise, but everybody has their own red lines and bespoke recruitment paraphernalia. For combat drone manufacturers, under the fantastically cynical guise of encouraging kids to get into STEM careers, is my red line.
So, Adam and I completely agree with
you
here, though.
Fuck you guys. Yeah.
But my question is because their whole thing was promoting STEM. Which, absolutely,
you need
fantastic.
That to go into space, and yeah. That's what they were trying to emphasize.
So why that, not team with, like, SpaceX?
Well, SpaceX is still, I would say, if you're trying, like, literally, if you're trying to do a good job of promoting STEM.
Which is what I'm looking at, or, like, literally NASA.
Then you know? Go NASA. That's yeah. Like, so
even something like Tesla.
NASA's a not-for-profit.
Like, I mean, that's not necessarily space, but there's a lot of science and technology and engineering involved in
sure.
That.
Sure. There are better options. I would
yeah,
that.
That's what
How
I'm getting
that?
At. There yes. There's, I've got to feel like there's a dozen better options.
Way here. Better options. Yeah. Sure, I'll give you that. Even
I mean, yes, ideally NASA would be... Yeah, you're the top of the list.
But
the first
okay,
phone call.
So from your point of view, going to SpaceX, that's actually a great idea because it's a privately owned traded business.
Mm-hmm.
Something that Disney and people like Ike Perlmutter would for sure want to consider.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like there's a profit sharing part of that and stuff, like all of that stuff.
But they're not the fifth largest.
But they're not the fifth largest. Yeah, they don't get
not as much money.
They don't get 1/5 of the military chunk of the U.S. budget.
It's true. That's a valid point.
Yeah.
But, I mean, at the same time, that's...
Tyler, you looked at me really intensely right there. You were like, that's a great point or something. I don't...
I don't know what I was thinking.
Your eyes were huge.
I mean, I'm dubious of that number, because fifth largest, if they got a fifth of it, that doesn't work out.
A fifth of the defense budget, not of the whole
budget.
There's
no... Okay, if they're the fifth largest defense contractor, there's no way they get one
fifth. That's assuming that there's only five. You know.
No, that's not no, even that's... assuming there's only five. That's
okay, so it's wrong. But still, you know what I mean. They get yeah. Some money.
They get a large,
they get a lot
they get
of
a
it.
Very large chunk of that pie.
Big old chunk of the pie.
I think
yeah.
we can all kind of we're pretty much on the same side of every creator that's come out. Like I found out when you did. We all found out at the same time, right?
We're all
yeah, we all did.
By this.
We all got pretty pissed, right?
So like what in the fuck?
Less than 48 hours later?
Oh, I think it was 24.
Less than 24 hours later, Marvel issued a statement on the Northrop Grumman partnership.
And this is what I mentioned earlier. This thing was canceled. They had a panel that was going to go on Saturday. That panel got canceled, replaced with the Stan Lee documentary.
Mm-hmm.
But Marvel also released a statement.
Yeah.
Which I will here. Read to you. Part of it now, which I really love.
I think it's great. I think it's a great statement.
So this seems like a weird word to use.
No, that's fine.
But the activation with Northrop Grumman at New York Comic Con was meant to focus on aerospace technology and exploration in a positive way. However, as the spirit of that intent has not come across, we will not be proceeding with the partnership, including this weekend's event programming. Marvel and Northrop Grumman continue to be committed to elevating and introducing STEM to a broad audience. STEM being science, technology,
engineering, and mathematics.
Yeah, so that also doesn't even necessarily say that the partnership's completely over.
No, it is.
Yeah. On top
they will not be proceeding with this partnership, including this weekend's program.
Because later then says this is Marvel and STEM will continue to try and...
Well, STEM is just an abbreviation.
It says Marvel and Northrop Grumman.
Continue to be committed to elevating.
Individually.
Like that. Yeah. Well, yeah.
As separate entities.
Yeah, so they backed out of that real quick. Not surprised by that at all. I'm more surprised that it took them until the announcement of it to realize people might take this wrong. Like, Marvel Studios is probably one of the highest earning movie studios right now. Their movies make fucking gangbusters.
Yeah, I think
maybe
you're
not,
right.
Maybe not in terms of, like, you know, after the cost, like, profit, but in terms
revenue?
Of revenue,
yeah.
They're up there. Like, their movies consistently make a shitload of money. And they started their shit off with the story of a guy who had a military, like, weapons manufacturing company, realized it was a shit idea, and stopped all weapons manufacturing.
Yeah, absolutely. And it became, not a pacifist, but an apologist.
Yeah, he's into clean energy, helping people out, all that shit. So why not, like, do a STEM thing with another company is my kind of thing.
Which I think is what Adam brought up earlier. If you really want to encourage STEM stuff, go through a pacifist fucking company.
Yeah.
Or go through a company that's not a fucking...
An explorative company. Yeah. Like
go
NASA,
through Blue
SpaceX.
Origin. Go through SpaceX. Go through Virgin Galactic. Go through... And these are partnerships among already billionaires. You know
what
I mean?
Exactly, yeah.
Like, be billionaires...
Like Richard Branson?
Yeah.
Like, that's a good partner to have.
Yeah, be billionaires together.
Yeah. You
know? Exactly.
Bro out on your billions.
Let's see. So, Tyler's right. There's four movies that are above a billion.
Yeah.
What do we have? Captain America Civil War,
Iron Man,
Avengers,
Age of Ultron,
Iron Man 3,
Age of
Ultron,
and Cap 3.
Cap 3.
Iron Man 3
I would
made
argue,
over a billion?
I would argue
it's a good goddamn movie.
I would argue Iron
no,
Man
it's not.
Yes it is.
I would argue Iron Man 3 is the only non-Avengers movie.
Yeah, but Iron Man 3 is dope as fuck.
No, it's not.
And
it's
then
the
let's
worst
see.
Iron Man movie.
There
You're
are
the worst Iron Man movie.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 movies above 500 million. So, yeah, they're huge. There are 9 movies above 500 million in this group.
Yeah, no, they make a lot of money.
They make
and
a lot of
it's
money.
Just funny to me that they would go this far with the partnership. Somebody at Marvel put this together, got a writer and artist who did this project. Nobody else knew about it. They went through with this, got everything ready to go, signed up a secret panel for Saturday, slammed it on the internet like Thursday afternoon, and only then did they realize this might not have been a good idea. Like,
wait, this tweet says it was a bad idea. We should rethink this.
I wish there were timestamps on the tweet because it's
yes,
this tweet has been canceled.
Yeah. There are
timestamps. 9:34, and this one is
October. You have to look 6th. At the actual tweet.
Yeah, I do. 8 a.m.
So it was
8 a.m. Thursday.
Put up at 8 a.m. and cancel at 9:34.
13 hours. But no, 9:34 p.m.
The next
same day.
Same day.
So it lasted a little over 11 hours from the announcement to
hours.
The cancellation. 13
hours.
That shit is so funny.
Yeah. Also, if you want an example of the power of the internet, that's it.
Yeah.
And it's one of the only recent examples that works. I would say we have the power of the internet when it comes to national elections, and it doesn't matter. We have the power of the internet when it comes to net neutrality, and it doesn't matter. But if you have the power of the internet and you are facing Marvel Comics,
you got all the power.
You might have all the power there, folks. as a way to end, and a way to end this here adventure, we're gonna throw a third segment in here that
this comes from Chris.
Probably
which is a good
one of the best ideas we've had recently, and it's topical.
So now we could say that Northrop Grumman is, in their defense, they're an aerospace and defense contractor.
Yeah.
And a lot of their business is in both realms. But, gives us the idea. What if the U.S. military and their defense contractors partnered with DC and Marvel? What's the outcome? What do you get
DC
out of this?
Or Marvel? So instead of us doing, like, here's what we come up with, I'd like to just keep going down the line.
I could probably just scroll back in our chat
we've
and find a lot of these.
Dozen or more.
Yeah.
I like Hawkeye's handguns.
Hawkeye's handguns are great. I would also like to point out that, like, maybe those come with customizable stocks.
Oh, yeah.
To not totally break your arms.
Well, that, or it totally looks like the little, like, one-handed crossbows, you know, that you can pick up at, like, a hobby store.
Yeah.
But it's just an attachment to the end of the barrel. So it's still normally just a 9mm.
How about this? What we're going to be proposing is a bunch of different marketable items that you can sell to the government from a military contractor based on Marvel and DC stuff.
Or the private citizen, yeah, sure.
I've got another one.
Punisher tactical gear.
Range across all kinds of things. That's like bulletproof vest, obviously with the
pouches.
His crossbow from Punisher with Thomas Jane, where it had like he killed those two guys coming in, and then he never used that bow again. Oh, the detachable paper cutter that he uses to kill that one guy.
I was thinking so. If we're using DC as well, maybe a Thomas Wayne's business attire bulletproof vest.
So it looks like a bulletproof vest.
You look a line of Wayne handguns. Personal defense guns.
I think one of the suggested ones was a ring of pearls, also hand grenades.
Yes. No, it was smoke pellets.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a pearl necklace smoke pellet chain.
Chris had a great idea. Bullets stamped with Captain America's shield.
Oh, excellent. What about bullets stamped with any insignia you want on them?
Yeah, any of them?
Yeah.
The
Avengers A, the Inhumans insignia, if there is one. The Shield
Punisher
insignia.
Skull.
Punisher Skull, that's
that
a great
would,
one.
Oh my that God. Would actually sell.
The Hammer of Thor.
Those on the casing when they shoot out the skulls on
Whomsoever fires this bullet, if he be worthy.
Chris had a great out there idea. X-23 tactical boot knives.
Oh,
I also liked bub gloves. Which is basically just knife gloves.
Yeah.
Gloves
yeah, so you have your...
duct taped to them.
Would they be fingerless?
Ooh, both.
Fingerless gloves.
They got both variants.
With
both
knives. Oh, and they got
those, it's those ones where the fingertips fold over and there's a little Velcro spot back here so you can undo the fingertips if you want to.
Yes, yes, yes.
I also like the idea of, I mean, Aunt May is a little frail old lady, so Aunt May's pistol purse, or purse pistol.
A purse pistol
would be great. Or pepper spray. Yeah.
It's like a little purse. Somebody comes up, she holds it up. Oh,
you know,
dearie, don't do
you know,
that.
It would be,
on the strap.
It would not be Aunt May's pepper spray. It'd be Pepper Potts pepper spray.
Oh, it would. Fuck. Yeah, it would. Josh, you suggested this one.
Wakanda Wakasashi.
Oh, that's a little. No, it would have to be.
Silver Samurai Wakasashi.
Silver Samurai or Katana.
What about a Silver Sable Saber? Damn it.
Silver Sable Saber. Might be good. I like the idea of Deadshot rifles, like rifles painted in his costume.
Yeah, maybe but also wrist pistols.
Yeah, wrist pistols. So you could just punch and shoot somebody at the same time.
Crossbones. I hate all people face. I don't know.
Oh, shit. We didn't even think
Dr.
about
Strange
this.
Shotgun.
We could even license this kind of thing down to not a lethal level, but like a paintball arena.
Ooh.
Do you know how many different characters you can make a paintball mask out of? Like, for example, Crossbones.
Captain Cold.
Captain Cold?
He would have an open mask.
Fucking most of them.
Croc.
Yeah, Iron Man ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Batman.
Batman. Spider-Man ones.
Spider-Man.
Venom ones.
Venom.
Carnage.
Venom would be great.
Did we mention Punisher Bulletproof Vest with the Punisher logo?
Oh, yeah. That was part of the Punisher kit. Punisher's got his own segment on this.
It's a Punisher line of products.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Just like Deadshot has one.
Punisher family of home defense products.
Bring Goblin hand grenades.
Oh,
pumpkin
shit.
Hand grenades.
Pumpkin grenades.
Well, I mean, obviously, we have that, like, the whole Punisher line. We also have lines for Deathstroke. We have lines for Deadpool if you're feeling a little naughty. We have lines
which is actually just microwavable chimichangas.
We have lines for Deadshot.
Mm-hmm.
There's lines for Hawkeye if you're a bow hunter.
Yeah.
Green Arrow is adjacent to that.
No, Green Arrow is the hunting line.
Oh, sure.
Because I mean, you would have the bow. Like,
is there
the
also
bow.
A little bit of social justice in there? Like he's got like Al Gore bumper stickers.
Not
on
at all.
His...
what I'm imagining for the Green Arrow line is strictly bow related products for hunting.
Just hunting.
Just hunting.
Because not...
Well, maybe some sport ones as well.
Like
the sport of archery.
Humans.
Sport and sport. Animals and targets.
Let's see, what else could you do?
Well, there's the Hawkman harness that comes with either parachute or wings.
Holy fuck, a parachute with Hawkman wings logo on it.
Yeah. Or Black Hawks.
Or in the shape of, if you could somehow work that.
Yeah.
Actual batarangs.
actual batarangs.
That's not a bad idea.
Actually, those kind of already exist. I bought my brother one from like a shitty
Amazon seller.
Or like a smoke shop that's got them with all the knives. And,
yeah, that's where I got one.
Yeah.
I don't know if he even still has that, but it was a little sharp.
Yeah, you can sharpen shitty
metal. What are some things that we're missing? Oh, bullseye cards.
Oh, shit.
They actually
bullseye
have
razor cards.
Throwing cards that that are made of metal that the edges are sharpened. You'll find them in the same case as the
You'll find them at Northrop Grumman.
No. Don't be gauche. They only make missiles.
Don't be gauche.
They don't bother with that shit.
What I love about this is like Tyler will be like, ah, fuck you, buddy. But every once in a while, he'd be like, don't be so pedantic. You fucking asshole.
I mean, you know, they make missiles. They don't make razor blade playing cards.
You don't know them.
I know their line of products.
I know of them.
They could literally make Magneto's missiles.
Or Magneto's missiles? EMP.
Yeah.
There we go. An EMP called the Magneto.
Chris had mentioned that Cyclops's laser eyes. I don't know how
they
do
we're getting
do
a
that.
Little bit into the little more sci-fi
fantastical.
Stuff.
Yeah.
I'm trying to stick to what we can do now in today's technology. But
The Guardian shield. I would like to see the Guardian from DC. His whole getup. He's got like a plated helmet, a beefy shield. Like, but it's not Cap Shield.
It would be a licensed line for inner city police.
Yeah, the Metropolis Special.
The Science Police?
The Science Police, yeah, the Metropolis Science Police, yeah.
Yeah.
You could do Daredevil defensive walking sticks.
Oh, shit! Oh, that's good.
Jessica Jones handbags.
What would
it's
that
actually
have in it,
just a bag full of locks.
It's just got bricks.
Yeah. It's a sack full of
what do you have
locks.
In here, buckles?
Yeah.
Fuck, now I just want a Daredevil cane.
Tick, tick, whack.
Yeah. Robin Attack Bird. It's a little drone.
Oh, there's a whole line of drones you can get into with that.
Oh, sure, yeah. How many drones are there? There's Red Wing. There's, what is Kitty Pryde's dragon?
Yeah, Red Wing and Kitty Pryde's dragon. That's just drones.
Yeah, what else you got? You got,
I mean, a Skeets.
Skeets?
Skeets would be rad.
Oh, I would love a Skeets drone.
You could talk to it.
Would you call it Skeets?
Of course.
I call
it would look like Skeets.
I hope so, yeah.
Skeet, Skeet, mother Skeet, let's go.
Come on, Skeet, Skeet.
I don't recommend that, sir.
I always recommended Skeet, Skeetin'.
Oh, man. There is a plethora.
What about like mass communication devices? Justice League alerts and comlinks and things like that. Would these people be... Is that not militaristic enough? Or?
I mean, maybe this company's a make they branch into non-defense products.
What about like chemical warfare, like Smilex?
Joker Venom.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if they're... I think these guys are kind of hanging on the mechanical side of things.
Yeah, I'm thinking about weapons.
Delivery systems, though?
Chemical weapons is getting a little bit out there for me. That's
laser-guided line-of-sight stuff, I would not be... Go. Like, you can... Joker can tactically nuke Smilex into, like, Uganda and then see what happens.
What other...
Venom just... Subdural delivery systems for Bane's Venom.
There we go.
Oh, they get into the
Aquaman themed tridents and spears.
Pieces only.
Yeah, decorative ceremonial stuff like that. Wonder Woman vignettes and stuff.
Straight up Wonder Woman bulletproof Woman riot shield.
So obviously America can develop a numerous amount of weapons based on DC stuff.
Or Marvel.
And don't you hope that happens?
Yeah.
How about this? If that happens, if people start decorating their stuff with comic book or pop culture references, is war now better?
I mean,
a little bit? Just a little bit?
It's more colorful.
I don't know. It might be worse.
Themed.
But, I mean, let's say you watch 50 soldiers storm enemy controlled compound, an enemy is abroad.
All of them carrying Aunt May pistol purses.
or they're all wearing Punisher fucking flak jackets.
They've all got helmets that have Captain America's shield emblazoned on the top.
Would you not?
Actually, that'd just be a target.
Yeah. Shoot me here.
That's the point of it, right? Though that's why Batman wears the colorful symbol on his chest.
I don't think that works in real life.
A helmet will help with like a bullet that's going to deflect off of it, but if you get shot directly in the head,
I know,
even if the bullet doesn't kill you, the force of your neck being snapped backwards definitely will.
Yeah.
So how do you want to end this segment? Because I don't have an end for
right
this
now.
Segment.
We are done.
Go to war.
We are done. Because this is kind of getting a little depressing with how many comic book things you could license to make weapons. Yeah.
How did we even not talk about Catwoman's whip? Or
well, because then we're just getting into fetish gear. That's a different company, different industry.
What would happen? What would
Hellboy
happen?
Hellboy punching boxing gloves?
Oh, dude, I would buy those in a heartbeat. Somebody sock had like, and boppers. Somebody had Hellboy sock and boppers? You bet I'd get those. All right.
I'm literally
well,
just looking around the room
get,
now for other superheroes.
Yeah, that's and it. And then no, we get into Hellboy's...
we're cashed.
we get into Dr. Fate's Ankh, and we're like, where are you going to put that?
Hey, no, we're cashed. We're not going to make magic products.
So Josh, be sure to check out... Science Nights this week. We start delving into the last of the disciplines, geology. Did I just say geology?
No, you said geology.
I'm glad that I said geology. Let's see what else. We got a new game and a new episode of Waiting for Players this week. You guys are doing Fortnite.
I know.
This week, and that's going to be some fun.
We actually do Fortnite today, if you're listening to this live. Or not live, but on day of release.
Well, we record live.
Well, we record live, so it goes on live no matter when you listen.
No matter what.
Yeah.
We wait in the studio until people start
listening.
Start the show, and then we do it again.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see, what else? Oh, be sure to check out Comics for Plays this week as we pick it up in the 13th Age at Part 7.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, it's a good couple episodes going to be coming out soon.
Yep, absolutely. And we will see you guys next week for more comic book fun and news and stuff and things. And I'm running out of ways to describe this.
Later, Taters.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Adam.
I'm Josh.